Sunny Side of Sports with Sonny Young. Hello, Sonny.
Happy Wednesday, Yehias.
I understand you're kicking off with African football.
Yehias, joining us once again on the Sunny Side of Sports is David Legg, our African football guru. Good evening, David.
Thank you, Sonny, from Johannesburg, that is suffering from a severe heat wave at the moment.
And speaking of heat, David, the heat is rising in Senegal's capital, Dakar. As we speak, Senegal going up against Nigeria, the 1996 Olympic champion, and that will be followed by a match between Algeria and South Africa. At stake, berths in next year's Olympic men's football tournament. Senegal against Nigeria, David. How does that look?
You hit the nail on the head, Sonny, when you mentioned heat. In fact, I've written a column here in South Africa about this. I think it's disgraceful that they're kicking this match off at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. The match has been played in the National Stadium in Dakar. They've got perfectly good floodlights, and I feel it should be more like a 5 p.m. kickoff. What happened, Sonny, is at the start of this tournament, two rounds of matches in both groups A and B, the first of the doubleheaders kicked off at 3 p.m. And I don't think it's a coincidence that by far the worst match so far was a Group B game between Algeria and Mali, was played at this ridiculous 3 p.m. The temperatures are touching 100 degrees Fahrenheit, which is just unbearable for footballers. And what happens is the play is reduced essentially to a walking pace. There's a lot of long kicks forward, far more in hope than in expectation. The level of football suffers as a result. Senegal, of course, Sonny, they're the hosts. They're far more used to these conditions than the Nigerians, and that could well give them a crucial edge. What's also interesting about Senegal and Nigeria is they do far better in the first half of games than in the second half. If you take Nigeria, the Dream Team 6, as they're known, they have scored all 5 of their group goals in the first half. They have not scored a single goal in the second half. And their defense in the first two matches conceded 4 goals in the second half. So they score in the first half, they concede in the second half. Senegal, they have scored, Sonny, 4 of their 6 goals in the first half and 2 in the second half. So it's going to be really interesting to see how this one pans out. But if only because of the weather conditions, and I'm assuming it's going to be the same baking hot conditions that we've seen throughout the tournament so far, that could well give the baby lions, as the Senegalese are known, a slight edge. Now, on the other hand, Sonny, it's an 8:30 in the evening kickoff for the South Africans and Algerians, and they will be thanking their lucky stars because you've got South Africa at the very southern tip of the continent, where once the temperature gets up to the mid-80s Fahrenheit, the word heat wave starts coming off people's lips. And the Algerians, of course, they're at the top of the continent, and they're now in the middle of their northern hemisphere winter. So I think if there were two teams that had to play earlier in the day, I think it's better that it's Senegal and Nigeria because they are a little bit more used to these basically inhumane conditions. South Africa, Algeria, an interesting one too, Sonny. You got the flair of the South Africans up against the organization of the Algerians. Now, we spoke about the fact that Senegal and Nigeria, they do a lot of their damage in the first half. It's quite the opposite with the Algerians. They've all scored their goals in the final quarter of matches. They don't score in the first three quarters of a game. They simply defend. And where the Algerians are very dangerous is these quick counterattacks. And I've noticed all 3 of their goals have come from counterattacks down the left flank. And one assumes that the South Africans have picked this up in watching the videos and will be particularly wary of that. The South Africans, similar situation, Sonny. They've only scored 1 first-half goal and 4 in the second half. And given the weather, I wonder if that's also not a coincidence. The fact that they've got maybe more energy when the weather is a little bit cooler, they attack more, and they scored 4 of their 5 goals in the second half. So 2 fascinating matches at stake, of course. 2 tickets to the Rio Olympics. And then on Saturday, Sonny, a very bizarre situation where you've got a final and a third-place match. And the third-place match, which is normally of very little relevance, that is going to completely overshadow the final. The final will have two teams that have already qualified for the Rio Olympics. On the other hand, the third place match will decide the third and final team. And I want to stress that there's been a little bit of confusion in Africa because four African teams competed at London's 2012 Olympics. There was a belief it would be four again. It is, in fact, only three. Three teams only going to Rio from Africa. So the winner of the third-place playoff, which is the curtain raiser to the final, they will be the third and final qualifier.
Voice of America!
My Voice of America colleague from Uganda, Douglas Mpuga, cheering and smiling over his beloved Cranes. The Cranes lifted their record-extending 14th CECAFA title over the weekend, David. How about some details?
Yes, Sonny, it's all going right for Uganda at the moment, the Cranes of Uganda. They are undoubtedly the top team in Eastern Central Africa this year. If you look at the rankings, Sonny, they're the only East African country in the top 20 in Africa in the FIFA rankings. They're also the only East African country that have qualified for the group stage of the World Cup for 2018 in Russia. And then just to cap it all and to show the depth of their talent, their coach, Milutin Shredovic, he took what was basically a young experimental side to Ethiopia for the CECAFA Cup, which is the Eastern Central Africa Championship. And lo and behold, they emerged winners despite losing their first match in the group stage, 2-0 to Kenya. And emphasizing youth, the captain of the side was none other than 18-year-old Farouk Mia, a name we're beginning to mention quite regularly on the Sunny Side of Sport. He's a midfielder. He's got a fondness for scoring goals. And I'm sticking my neck out and saying this is a star of the future. We don't at the moment, actually, Sunny, have any Ugandan stars in Europe. We don't have them in the English Premier League or La Liga. And maybe Mia is the man that's going to break that drought. And in a couple of years' time, once he's developed some more, he could well be playing in Europe. But it's quite something. I don't know of many 18-year-olds who captain their national teams. If we look at the knockout stages, Uganda beat Malawi 2-0 in the quarterfinals. In the semifinals, they drew 0-0 with Ethiopia and won 5-3 on penalties. And then in the final against Rwanda, a team that Shredovic formerly coached, it was a header from Okuti after 15 minutes that was decisive. The final result there, Uganda 1, Rwanda 0. And in the third place playoff between Ethiopia and Sudan, it finished 1-1. And the Ethiopians won 5-4 on penalties. That's a word I keep using, Sonny, penalties. In fact, of the 8 knockout matches in the CECAFA Cup this year, 6 were decided by penalty shootouts. It was only the final and Uganda's quarterfinal victory that were won in regular time. Quite an amazing statistic that 75% of the quarterfinals, semifinals, third place and final matches were decided by penalty shootouts. You mentioned Uganda with their 14 titles. Next best are Kenya with 6, then Ethiopia with 4. Malawi, Sudan and Tanzania have won the competition 3 times each. Zambia have won it twice. And Rwanda's B team, Zanzibar and Zimbabwe, have won it once each. And just to complete the statistics, Sonny, the leading scorer was Atar El Tahir from Sudan. He scored 4 goals, including a hat-trick against Zanzibar. So well done to Douglas. Well done to the Cranes. No argument, Sonny. Uganda are the kings of football in East and Central Africa.
No argument here, David. And we'll hear more soccer-licious commentary from David Legg later this week, right here on the Sunny Side of Sports.
Keep on the sunny side, always on the sunny side. Keep on the sunny side of life. It will help us every day. It will brighten all the way. It will keep on the sunny side of life.
I'm Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Voice of America!
They're playing basketball without
In National Basketball Association news, the defending champion Golden State Warriors have won their record-extending 23rd game in a row to start the season. The Warriors beat the host Indiana Pacers Tuesday night, 131-123. Guard Klay Thompson scored a game-high 39 points for the Warriors, while backcourt partner and reigning league MVP Stephen Curry tallied 29 points. The win moves the Warriors into a second-place tie among the NBA's all-time winning streaks, having won the final four regular season games of last season before their record 23-0 start to this season. The Warriors equaled the 2012-2013 Miami Heat's 27-game winning streak. The 1971-72 Los Angeles Lakers hold the NBA record of 33 wins in a row. The International Boxing Federation has stripped Tyson Fury of its heavyweight title for refusing to fight a mandatory challenger, and the big British boxer is also under investigation for alleged hate crimes over comments he made before beating former heavyweight champion Vladimir Klitschko November 28th. The IBF actions are not related to Fury's controversial comments. The sanctioning body wanted Fury to fight its mandatory challenger, Vyacheslav Glazkov of Ukraine, but Fury is expected to have a rematch instead in 2016 against Klitschko, who's also from Ukraine. Meanwhile, in Manchester, England, where Fury lives, police are looking into comments he made against homosexuals in last month's bout. Fury took Klitschko's WBA, WBO, and IBF belts, but he'll now have to make do with the first two, plus a much bigger payday for fighting.